Hi, and welcome to Jesus Over Everything, a five-day-a-week variety show that mixes encouragement, the Bible, practical how-tos, and fantastic guests for the listener on the go. I'm Lisa Whittle, and I welcome you to just 5 minutes with me, which I trust and pray will be 5 minutes well spent. What a fantastic woman we have back on Jesus Over Everything today. Audrey Roloff blew me away with her wisdom and fire about, among other things, love, purity, and Jesus. I'll admit I knew of her from her husband Jeremy's family being the family on Little People Big World, but it didn't take me long for that fact to quickly fade and see Audrey just for who she is, a woman deeply committed to marriage and this idea of always more. We have the best talk today about us both being Enneagram 8s, the difference between virginity and purity, yeah, we go there, and who is the kindest person that she knows. I even get some advice for my own son and his long-distance love. You will love this one, friends. Here we go. So let's get into this, Audrey, because I have so many things I want to talk to you about and so little time. I already feel connected with you about these. You are sort of fiery, and this is what I'm picking up on by reading about you and reading the book a little bit. You're fiery, you're creative, you're an Enneagram 8, which, by the way, I am too.
Oh, really? Oh, yay. There needs to be more of us.
I love 8s. I'm always bonding. People are always like, can 2 8s coexist? I'm like, oh, we can coexist.
Oh, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. So in the first part of your new book, A Love Letter Life, by you and your husband, which I think is awesome, by the way, my first book I co-authored with my mother. So that co-authored.
Cool.
Yeah. You give this example of your first love letter from your husband, Jeremy, who you were just starting to date at the time. And so you liken it to being like an immunity idol on the TV show Survivor, which I'm fan of. I'm a huge Survivor fan. And so that immediately makes me love you. So I have to ask, are you also a huge Survivor fan? You have to be with that example.
I did. So I grew up watching Survivor with my family. It was like the only show that my family really watched together.
Oh, I love it. The other thing I related to is actually not exactly about me, but more about my son, who he's pretty private and I may get in trouble for talking about this, but he was in college and he and his girlfriend, also in college, but at a different college, they're in a long distance relationship, which was the case for you and Jeremy as well.
Yeah.
And that's tough to do as couples. You've been through it, you know. So I would love for you to give my son and his girlfriend and others out there who are going through it. They may be college students, or maybe they're, you know, even a married couple that they're in deployment or something. Yeah. I would love for you to give them some really practical advice on this and just some encouragement, because you've been through this long distance thing.
Yeah. So my first thing I'll say on that is just don't take this as advice. It's not gospel. Anything I say, you know, there are things that worked for us and there were things that didn't work for us, and we learned from failing along the way. So, you know, some of these tips and things that we learn may not work for other people listening who are in a long distance relationship, and that's okay. You have to figure out what works for you. But, one of the things that we realized, well, I'll start with, so we really wanted to make, we knew that we had this period of long distance. It was 3 years straight and we were both in college, super busy. I was a collegiate athlete. We barely got to visit each other. And so we knew that we wanted to be extra intentional with the ways that we sort of had this relationship where we were essentially friends that just talked on the phone, because that's what a long distance relationship is. And so we had to have that expectation for ourselves early on of like, okay, we can't do life together. We're not going to get to have these same experiences and growth in depth in our relationship in the same way that the friends around us who are dating, you know, people in proximity are. And so we have to have like set that expectation. So that was something we talked about very openly in the beginning. And then we also just wanted to, like, for example, the letter writing, we just wanted to have our relationship be marked by, we knew we needed to have that extra intentionality, that extra effort. Being in a long distance relationship does require extra effort, a little bit more creativity, maybe. Things aren't coming up as naturally. You have to sort of create these experiences that you can still share together from afar. And so we tried to just be, you know, the word, I know this is kind of a cliche overused word, but just super intentional during that time of, okay, how can we grow our friendship and grow our relationship without getting to do life alongside each other? And so we just had to come up with creative ways to do that. And so one of the ways for us was writing letters. There's just something about writing letters. We're both kind of old fashioned at heart and we love that kind of stuff, but also just the extra intention, the extra effort, the extra time it takes to actually write down your thoughts in a letter and send it. And then the anticipation and an element of surprise and just the fun of receiving a letter and reading it, was just a really cool thing for us during long distance. So, yeah, those are just a few quick things I would hit on. I think one of the things that a lot of people ask me, like, did you guys have weekly Skype calls or did you guys have, you know, a time where you always talked? And we actually didn't. And I think in the beginning, we wanted to do that and we just failed and failed and failed every time something came up in each other's lives where we wanted to be present with our college friends or, you know, go to the football game or do the whatever, you know, not just be hibernating in our rooms talking on the phone all night because we're in a long distance relationship. And so we actually sort of let the burden of that go, of the pressure to talk on the phone every week. And we just kind of were okay with letting it be more spontaneous. That way we didn't feel like we were always failing when, you know, the Skype call on Monday night, one of us had to cancel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What I love about that is it's sort of like you let it be this trial and error in the midst of your commitment.
Yes. It's
like, I think what people do is they say, well, this isn't working well, so let's just give up on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You're like, we're not going to throw it out. That just didn't work. So let's try something else. You weren't married to the method. You were just were committed to each other, which I think is powerful. Also, I think, Audrey, in a real way, that reminds me of relationship with God. And it reminds me of even the idea of intentionality. That reminds me of relationship with God. I mean, if that's not present, if that's not there, we're not going to be able to carry that relationship out in the way it needs to be.
Yes, absolutely. And even just, I mean, yeah, that's home run what you just said, because, you know, I think there's things that we did need to, you know, there's times in my life where my relationship with the Lord has looked different. You know, sometimes there's times in my life where I was reading my Bible every morning for an hour and journaling and praying and having this amazing time. And then there's times in my life where I've been reading the Jesus Storybook Bible with my 6-month old, you know, and then there's times in my life where we've had really, really rich community and times where we've had, you know, we've been traveling a lot. And so I think there, you have to give yourself grace for those changes. But also on the flip side of that, you have to have some things that you do stay committed to. And for us, that was letter writing. But like in our walk with the Lord, we can't just let everything ebb and flow. You know what I mean? Like you have to have something that's like that thing that you know, you're going to get that time, you know, finding that balance is a never ending, but
it's like some things you have to stick with, right? Like some things you have to make work, and then some things you know, and not give up super easily, and some things you have to go, this clearly doesn't fit our relationship DNA, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's so wise to even off the bat say, figure out what works for you, because you know, people ask me for advice a lot about like, how do you write a book or how do you craft a message when you speak or whatever? And I can certainly give people the bones of that or like, you know, what kind of works for me. But I often say like, I might be the worst person to ask about this because I'm not a great like form. Here's the formula, plug it in. You know, we're all so individual. We all have things that work for us and things that don't. Certainly I can give you some, you know, core principles, but man, we all have to be who we are and operate that way. So I love the wisdom you share. So one of my favorite things in the book, and I wish we had time to get into everything, but this was a really powerful moment for me when you talk about being virgins on your wedding night. And obviously that's amazing, but yet the difference between virginity and purity and how as Christians, we often value virginity, like we put it on this pedestal, but we sort of forget about purity. And to me, obviously purity is not just in the sexual sense, it's in every sense. And so I'd love for you to sort of talk about that and kind of encourage us back to that purity place that we really need to be.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, you know, somewhere along the way, we realized we were fighting the wrong battle. We talk about, you know, the chapter title in our book is losing the purity battle. You know, we won the virginity battle, but realized we were fighting the wrong battle. And so, you know, we learned there were some things that we were successful in, and there were some things that we failed in, and we're pretty vulnerable and honest about those things in that chapter of the book. But we kind of in the book, in the end of the chapter, there's a list of like, here's some practical boundaries for purity and dating relationships. And then there's some specific ones for purity within long distance relationships, because you might be thinking, oh, well, how did Audrey and Jerichelle struggle with purity and they weren't even in the same city, you know? But I think, like, you know, the Bible talks about like, when you burn, you burn, and we burn for each other, but we weren't in the same place. But then when we did have the chance to be together in the same place, that intensity of burning for each other was even heightened, because we didn't even get to hold hands and sit next to each other, you know, for 3 months. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, right. Yeah. So, we just had to be, we had to be creative in the ways that we set boundaries for ourselves when we were together. Some of the things that really helped us were, you know, we both had mentors that checked in with us. I talk about, one of my college mentors who would actually text me every night that I was visiting Jeremy in Santa Barbara and be like, at 10 PM, she'd be like, it's 10 PM, Audrey, are you home and in your own bed? And, you know, she had me set an alarm on my phone to like, know to leave and go home, you know? So there was just, yeah, there were some good things, that we had set in place. And then there were some things, you know, that we failed in, because we did burn for each other. And we had this desire to wait to get married until we both graduated. And that was a choice that we made, but it was a hard one. And so, but I think, one of the things that, like, I think, I can't remember who told it to me, but someone told it to me at some point along the way. In just, I grew up in the Young Life world community. And I think it was maybe one of my Young Life leaders, but she talked about how, God's grace makes the purity battle not about what you did with your body, but what he did with his. And I just loved that line so much, because I think women in our generation today, so many of them, you know, even Christian women, like, have messed up, have these pasts that they feel this shame and guilt, and men too. You know, purity looks different for men and women, but, there's just a lot of shame and guilt in that topic, even in the Christian community. And so, I think just, you know, we talk about in our book, like, you can have a fresh start anytime you choose. Like, you can, you know, you can walk away from this, you can start over. And so I just love that. And I, whoever is, if you're listening and you remember that you're the one that told me, I credit you. But, yeah, I thought that that was really good, and something that I've encouraged younger women in who have felt like, you know, I messed up, you know, I just want to throw my hands up in the air because I lost the virginity battle. And so, you know, what's fighting for purity now? I've already lost that battle. And it's like, well, no, like, you can start out, you know, so.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm telling you, I think this is one of the most powerful points of the book, because I think, number one, all of us fight the purity battle every day. We fight the purity battle with what we're looking at, with what we're listening to, with what we're, I mean, I fight it, you fight it, men fight it, women fight it. I mean, there's no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. I think it's a powerful point to make. I think it's interesting what we put on pedestals as believers and what we diminish. I mean, all of it. And I'm so glad you brought up that practical checklist, because that to me was one of the most important things you did there, was to say, here are the tangibles. Here are some tangibles. You're not shoving it down people's throat. You're certainly not saying we did it perfect. In fact, you are vulnerable. You say, hey, here's some ways we messed up, by the way, and I'm going to call them out.
Yeah.
But let me also tell you, like, some things that'll help. And, you know, it's one thing that I tell my kids, I tell it to myself. I say, I'm not trying to give you this like big do's and don'ts. I'm saying, like, help yourself. I want you to help yourself, because I know how hard it is. I know that I have to help myself. I mean, I went on a 1-year shopping fast several years ago because I felt like I was putting that over God. I really did. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like I had to set some parameters and I had to be strict with myself. Man, I had to almost like make it to where it was impossible for me to break my own rules, because I knew myself. And I knew that I would get around it if I possibly could. I mean, I just know me, you know?
Well, and 8's on the Enneagram. We're going to challenge it, right?
Right, exactly. Thank you for understanding. That's exactly. Yeah. So fellow 8 knows exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
All right. So this is great to transition into this, because this show is called Jesus Over Everything. And mm-hmm. it's important for me, Audrey, when guests come on here, for us to have real talk about this, because I think when people have a lot of followers or they're published authors or whatever, there's this idea, and you know, maybe we feed into it sometimes, not even knowingly, but this idea that we just don't struggle to put Jesus first. Like, Jesus is automatically over everything in our life. I mean, this is ridiculous. I think, you know, a lot of us are quick to say that is so crazy, but you know, this life of surrender is not easy for any of us. I think it's important for us to be real about it. And I know, I mean, I can already sense that you don't have a problem being real and honest. I appreciate that. So my question to you is, what is something sort of like tangible in your life that you've had to struggle to put Jesus first in front of? And so just to get you thinking, you know, some of my guests have said maybe their go-to is self-doubt or isolation or food. I already talked about shopping right there. What maybe is your go-to sometimes that gets in the way of that priority order of Jesus over everything? And then maybe what do you do about it, or what have you done about it, or how are you praying through it, or whatever the case may be?
That's really good. Lisa, the second you said it, I mean, I know my thing, and maybe you resonate with this a little bit too. You know, I'm not giving the 8 as an Enneagram thing as an excuse, but just that I'm a very have to live up to my potential, squeeze the most out of life, borderline workaholic. And I love achievement and competition and all of that. And I have had this quote sentence taped to, it should be in every single like bathroom, nook and cranny in our house, car, on my arm, like everywhere. But a couple years ago, I just felt like the Lord was really saying to me, Audrey, I care more about what I'm doing in you than through you. And I just was like, yep, Jesus, I need to hear that every 10 minutes, because I'm the type of person that's like, oh, God's going to use me for these things. And I'm so passionate about like sharing the gospel and sharing God's heart and what I'm learning and being vulnerable and the whole thing. You know, you probably resonate with this, books and all the stuff, using what God's given us and trying to steward it well to point people to Jesus. Like, that's what I want to do with my life. But I think for me, like, what I need to be reminded of every day is, Audrey, I care more about what I'm doing in you than through you. And, you know, I want to spend time with you. I know you want to spend time doing all these things for me, but I want to spend time with you. And so for me, the thing that gets in the way is that it's work for Jesus, you know, but it's such a hard, you know, thing. And I think that's where my husband is very balancing for me. He's a 9 on the Enneagram. And so if that says anything about him, but he reminds me of that just through his life and watching him. So it's a really good thing. I think the Lord, gave me to him to balance me in that way. But that's definitely something that I just need to be daily reminded of. And so just, I'm trying to find, you know, I'd be curious if you found any ways that have helped you to be more intentional with this. I think one of the things that's been really helpful for me this year, you know, and this isn't like a super Christian-y answer, but just, I've been doing this thing called the 5-minute journal. Have you heard of it?
No.
So it's this journal you write. It takes 5 minutes, 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes at night. And it is basically like a proclamation for your day. You know, here's three things that I'm grateful for. And then at the end of the day, it's here's 3 things that I accomplished today. And, you know, it's just like basic questions. You fill in the blanks. But for me, it's really helped me with gratitude and also like thinking of a truth. Like every day they have you basically write down a truth that you need to be reminded of, essentially. And to think of that, I have to go, okay, Lord, like, what is that? You know? And so then I have to have time with him and really sit in silence and solitude for a moment and just let him speak to me. And so that's just been like a very tangible, helpful thing for me in the past 3 months, that I've just really loved. So, if you're listening and that sounds interesting to you, it's called the 5-minute journal.
Yeah. It's, you know, the intensity of the moment. I think anything that can give us that pause and the intensity of the moment or whatever we're doing, and just, you know, continuously remembering God and diving into him. When I take my focus off of me and the tasks and the to-do, and I literally just, I mean, sometimes, honestly, Audrey, for me, it's been just writing on a piece of paper, just Jesus over and over again. I know that sounds small and silly, but to me,
that's amazing.
It's like it's a refocus. It's like, I can't think of me and him at the same time. And so it's a recalibration. Mm. I love it. I love it. I love it. I could talk to you for hours. So luckily we're going to do something light and fun. So people just really get to know you before we just close this thing out. A word you love. What's a word you love off the top of your head?
Okay. Well, so this is my word for 2019 is abide. I pick a word every year. And so that's the word I've been loving right now.
That's a good word too. Abide, just abide, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly what I need to hear in the year of publishing our first book. That's and it's like, no, abide in
that's
me.
That's right. Hang on to that one tightly, my friend. Did you have a childhood nickname at all?
I did. So Audge, and it's still my nickname, A-U-J. Jeremy still calls me Audge.
I'm glad to know that because I was like, A-U-J, how am I pronouncing?
Yes, Audge.
Okay. Celebrity freak out. Is there anybody that you'd freak out if you met them?
Oh, yes. So, I mean, I used to be a huge Taylor Swifter.
Yeah.
And then I did actually get to meet her for my 15th birthday.
So fun.
And it's a really embarrassing story. But now I would say no, she would not be someone I would aspire to meet now.
I feel like every I met this celebrity story is always an embarrassing story because I met Amy Grant.
Who was yeah. Like my oh, yeah.
Like I sat next to her and it's an amazing story, which we don't have time for. But I sat next to her and we actually sat and had a meal together and we chatted the whole time.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
This was literally like this moment. It was 30 moments of my life. I thought, I think I died for 30 minutes. Times where I look back now and I'm like, I feel like there were so many things I should not have done and I should have said, you know?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I will say though, if I could have a meal, if I could sit down and have a meal with anybody, it would be Anne Voskamp. I adore her. She endorsed our book and I was about in tears. I was in tears when she sent her endorsement because I was just like, I would just look up to her in so many ways. I love her. I love her books. So
she would be honored that you said her and she would love to have, I know I can say that she would love to have a meal with you. Do you have a favorite online store that you love or like a favorite IG account that's fun that we follow?
Oh man, these are good. Favorite online store. So I love, you know, I was a college athlete. I love wearing athletic wear. Yeah. Albion. Have you heard of Albion?
Yes. Albion Fit. I love their bathing suits. They're so
okay,
bad,
yeah.
Right?
So they have like great modest bathing suits, super cute, really amazing quality and like tons of cute workout clothes. Yeah. And a lot of their stuff is floral and I'm obsessed with everything floral.
Yeah.
So I would say them. They're probably one of my faves.
Is it Albion? It's A-L-B-I-O-N. Is it Albion Fit or is it Albion? We'll link it in the show notes, but it's
yeah. Albion. Yeah. Albion Fit. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if they changed to being just Albion or not. So
coming upon summer soon. So that's a good one. Who is the kindest person you know?
You know, I have one friend that's coming to mind. Her name's Lauren Gravener. She's, I mean, I always describe her as the kindest person I know.
Oh, there you go. I love that. All right. So here's the last question. You can only say one more thing about Jesus. It's the only thing you could say. One more thing. What would you say?
So always more is my life mantra. And it's not just about always believing in the more that's within you, but always pressing into learning more about Jesus, who he is, who his character is, pressing into his word. And so I guess that my sentence in that would just be, you know, never stop pursuing Jesus. Never get to a point where you feel like, you know, I know enough, or just always be learning, you know, always be pressing into him and never feel like you've made it. Keeps us humble.
Yeah, so good. Thank you so much for coming on, Audrey. I've loved getting to know you and we'll have to do it again when we have more time.
Yes, I would love that. Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, friend.
You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Make sure to subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you won't miss a single show.